Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this very early Friday morning, August the 31st. We're a couple hours after the Miami Dolphins won their final preseason game, 34-7 over the Atlanta Falcons. It's the final preseason game. This is the post-game wrap-up show here at DolphinsTalk.com. I'm going to spend some time recapping the game and talking about what happened and what took place. Look, it's the final preseason game. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. Most of the players on Miami's roster who are of consequence didn't even suit up. So pretty much everyone on the field Thursday night here was a backup. And, you know, there was a lot of good in this game, obviously, with the 34-7 win. And we'll talk about that. Before I get to that, though, I want to make one website announcement. We here at DolphinsTalk.com are looking for some writers. If you are a Miami Dolphins fan, which if you're listening to this podcast, odds are you are, and you're very passionate and you want to write about the team and share your thoughts and opinions and have it read by the masses. And if you also, please send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. We are looking for writers and people who are passionate fans. Serious inquiries only. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. If you want to write for our site and you feel like you might be good at it or something that you are interested in, send me an email, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. If you live in South Florida and the Miami area, we might have some other things for you to work on and sort of cover. So again, if you're interested in that, send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Okay, on to the game. Miami won, as I said, 34-7. They dominated this game from the get-go, and they dominated the game on the stat sheet. Just looking over the stats overall, I mean, the Miami Dolphins had 26 first downs in this game. Atlanta only had 9. The Miami Dolphins ran 80 plays on offense. Atlanta ran 56. Total yards, Miami 343, Atlanta 185. Passing yards, Miami 226, Atlanta 101. Penalties. Miami only had 3 penalties for 30 yards. 3 penalties for 30 yards. I can't remember the last Miami Dolphins game where they only had 3 penalties. And I don't care that it was all the second and third stringer guys out there tonight playing. Only have 3 penalties in this game. That's a nice sign to see. Hopefully the regular players will have to play on September 9th. Sort of pick up where this left off and, you know, sort of cuts down on the penalties. Atlanta had 10 penalties for 87 yards. So Miami, for once and probably the first time in God knows how long, won the penalty margin here with only 3. And time of possession as well. Miami had the ball for 36.5 minutes. Atlanta for only 23. So let's start off talking about the offense. As the offense tonight was pretty much the story of the game, and the story of the offense was which one of the quarterbacks would sort of step up and grab that brass ring and take the number 2 quarterback job, as it was still very much up in the air between Brock Osweiler and David Fales. Neither one of these guys has looked sharp at all through training camp and through the first 3 preseason games. Tonight, Brock Osweiler stepped up, made some plays, and looked like a legitimate NFL quarterback for the first time in God knows how long. And right now, I would be stunned if he's not named the number 2 quarterback. Now, with Adam Gase, anything is possible. Legitimately, anything is possible, and nothing would shock me here. But tonight, Osweiler, 16 of 25, 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, you know, he looked in command of the offense. Now, look, a lot of those passes, especially in the first quarter and so, you know, were little dinks and dunks to the running backs who made plays with their legs after the catch. I totally saw that. It's not, but still, Osweiler overall, you know, he pushed the ball down the field some at times. Some. But, you know, he had command of the offense for the first time in God knows how long. It looked like he just looked like he was in control. Fails, on the other hand, 13 to 20, 94 yards, and again with an interception. Again with an interception. Fails, I don't care. I mean, every time he steps on the field, he's good for one turnover. And that's kind of scary. That it's actually really scary. Once again, neither one of these guys are really any good. I hope the Miami Dolphins are going to kick the tires on quarterbacks that are out there this weekend. But from tonight's game, and tonight's game really was, you know, a head-to-head battle of who's going to play better and who's going to sort of win this job. Brock Osweiler, you know, he played much better tonight than Fales, so there was that. The running backs for Miami tonight look good. And let's start off talking about the rookie fourth-round pick, Kalen Ballage. You know, the first preseason game against Tampa Bay, I said it right after the game. When the ball's in his hands, he just looks electric out there. Like it's a big play that can just happen at any time. He's one of those guys, when the ball's in his hands, it's like he moves at a totally different speed. You can't put your finger on it. It's just tough to describe. He is just an electric player. Tonight, 4 rushes for 25 yards and a touchdown. Receiving, 3 receptions for 37 yards. He looked very good. Now look, everything I'm saying about this game is taken with a grain of salt. We understand. The Miami Dolphins played there. Scrub players, and Atlanta played their scrub players. So, but scrub on scrub, you know, Kalen Ballage played very, very well tonight. The other running back that was impressive was Buddy Howell. Now, he only had 3 rushes for 7 yards, but he did score a touchdown there, and he also received 4 touchdowns. He had 3 receptions, 26 yards, and a touchdown. He looked very good, and he is someone who I'd be stunned if he's not on the practice squad come later this weekend. Until like Monday or so. I think he's someone worth holding on to. He looked very, very good tonight. He's another guy who, you know, you sort of want to stash away, hopefully, develop him on the practice squad. And, you know, Frank Gore's not going to play forever. So in a year or so, maybe he is on the active roster as that third or fourth running back. Howell looked very good. Wide receivers, Isaiah Ford, in my book, he won that sixth and final wide receiver job, assuming Miami does carry 6 wide receivers, 4 receptions, 43 yards. He looked solid tonight. Leonte Carew, he did have 3 receptions for 34 yards, but I think for him it's a little too late at this point. And I think the smart money would be on Isaiah Ford locking down a roster spot. Now look, just because he's the 6th wide receiver, I don't think he'll be active on game days. He'll probably be listed as inactive most weeks, if not all weeks, unless there is, of course, an injury to one of the first 5 wide receivers. But Ford, you know, he had a strong camp, and he's had a strong preseason tonight that continued. He had a heck of a game tonight, so there's that. Not much else on offense to talk about. Again, a lot of backups out there, but, you know, it was okay for the most part, especially in the first half when Miami did score 24 points in the first half, 21 points in the first quarter. They, you know, looked very sharp on offense with Brock Osweiler under center. On the other side of the ball, one other thing I want to mention. Tonight's game, the Miami Dolphins did have, usually, Adam Gase, he calls the plays. He calls the plays in the regular season. He calls the plays through the first 2 preseason games this year. Tonight, Adam Gase did not call the offensive plays. The offensive plays were called by the offensive coordinator, Dow Loggin. So just want to make note of that. Just a one-time thing. I wouldn't read anything into it. It's a 4th preseason game. Adam Gase probably just wanted the night off and just maybe wanted to watch and evaluate some guys and not have to worry about calling the game. So I wouldn't read anything into it. Other side of the ball. The player who sort of jumped off the screen at me tonight in a positive way, was cornerback Torrey McTyer. Torrey McTyer right now, you can make a case. You can make a case that he could start opposite Xavien Howard, and you could put Bobby McCain back in the slot. That's probably not going to happen, but you could make that case, and because I think he is playing that well tonight. He had a heck of a game tonight. He was covering guys like a blanket. Mind you, I know he was going up against the scrubs for Atlanta, not their top-end wide receivers, but he looked very sharp out there. He got his hand on the ball. He tipped the ball. That caused an interception for Stephon Anthony, which I'll talk about in a minute. But Torrey McTyer, at worst right now, is the third-best cornerback on the Dolphins. So even if they do start Bobby McCain on the outside, which it looks like it will happen, Minka Fitzpatrick starts in the slot, the first corner off the bench isn't going to be Lippitt, isn't going to be Tankersley. It should be, and I'd probably bet a lot of money right now, it will be Torrey McTyer. Torrey McTyer's had a heck of a camp, and, you know, he's earned this. He has worked his tail off, and he has earned this as an undrafted free agent last year. You know, good for him. He's easy to root for. He when he got on the field last year at the end of the year, he showed some promise. So he has really worked his tail off to get where he's at. And good for him, because I think how it looks, I mean, unless, you know, Tankersley or Lippitt, you know, in the next week, you know, get back to their old form, which probably ain't going to happen. Torrey McTyer should be the third cornerback on this team. And in a couple weeks into the regular season, if he's playing well, I would not be shocked if they start him opposite Howard and move McCain back to the slot. Ideally, I think Miami would like to have McCain in the slot and have someone else start on the outside. Right now, they just don't have anyone else at this moment. But if Torrey McTyer here, the first three or four games against Tennessee, against the Jets, against the Raiders, if he's playing well, you know, come week four, five, six, the Miami Dolphins staff might say, you know what, this guy's earned it. Let's have him start on the outside. Put McCain back in the slot and slide Minka back at safety, and let's roll with that. So I'll keep an eye on that, because he had a heck of a game tonight, and he's had a heck of a summer heading into now to the regular season. Linebacker Stephon Anthony, who I spoke about in this podcast earlier this week, who was someone who I thought might not make this team. I know the Miami Dolphins gave up a fifth-round pick for him last year. He might not make this team tonight. Did have an interception. I know it was off a tip ball, so you take it for what it's worth. But he made a play, and he made a positive play. For the game, he only had one tackle for the game, so nothing to write home about there. But the interception, you know, it's still an interception at the end of the day. He made a play, and with Miami is being so thin at linebacker, maybe he did get himself a roster spot, especially with the status of Mike Hull not being ready to open the year. And I'm going to talk about waiver claims here in a bit, but Stephon Anthony made a play, and he hasn't made many since he's been in Miami, regular season or preseason. The first preseason game at Tampa Bay, you know, I've said it, I've tried not to be too harsh in saying it, was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. I don't care if it's the first preseason game or not, was one of the worst performances I've seen out of a linebacker in God knows how many years. He was just running around with like a chicken with his head cut off. No rhyme, no reason to what he was doing. And, you know, it was bad. And after that game, no shock, he was demoted for Jerome Baker. And since then, Anthony has been buried on this depth chart. And being buried at linebacker on the Miami Dolphins right now on the depth chart is actually kind of hard, because they have no depth. And they really have no, you know, high-quality linebackers outside of guys like Alonzo, Raekwon, still young. So to be buried on this depth chart at linebacker, I mean, that's a bad sign. And he actually was until he made this play tonight. Maybe, you know, sometimes all it takes is for a guy to make a play, sort of get his confidence back up. I think he's still in jeopardy of not making this roster, but he might make the initial cut of 53. Anything else on defense? Not really. Like I said, it was a lot of the backups. The guys, I will say this about the Dolphins, their backups tonight, who I'm about to rip in about 1 minute, their backups tonight for this one game in a vacuum tonight, Thursday night, August 30th against Atlanta, they played really hard. They left it all on the field. Whatever speech Adam Gase told them before the game, saying, look, a lot of you guys are going to be released, everything's on tape probably, probably told them. Whatever he said to motivate them for this game, it clearly worked, because everyone who stepped on the field tonight looked like they were playing like their life was on the line. And in some regards, for a lot of these players, their NFL lives are on the line, because a lot of these guys are going to be released and not picked up by anyone else. So this team was motivated, far more motivated than Atlanta. Atlanta was out there tonight clearly going through the motions. Even their second and third stringers, you know, who this is a big game for those guys too. They just looked like they wanted to be anywhere else. They wanted to be anywhere else but on that field tonight. So the Miami Dolphins came out motivated in this game. They played with energy. They were crisp on offense. And I, like I said, the big story, the big takeaway is Osweiler probably won the backup quarterback job. You know, he looked okay. He looked okay for the first time since he's been in Miami. I don't care if it's through a training camp practice, through an OTA, through any of the preseason games. Tonight, he actually looked okay. And like I said, a lot of the passes were short in little dunks and dinks. Well, whatever. He made the plays. He made the plays. So you got to give him credit when he makes the plays. And for one night in a meaningless game, he looked okay. And he probably won himself the backup quarterback job. Special teams is also we're talking about. Jason Sanders tonight went 1-for-2 on field goals. His long was he had a long of 56. His miss was from 53. You know, and I know some people after he missed are like, oh my God, that looks so bad. We got to worry about it. Look, it's a 53-yard field goal. Look, in the NFL, from 40 yards in, you got to be automatic. If you're going to miss a 53-yard one, you know, I'm not going to go nuts over that. Jason Sanders, I think, as of right now, is a Miami Dolphins kicker. As of right now. And let's sort of talk about that here, the next step. The next step here is the Miami Dolphins have a 90-man roster. They have to get down to 53 men by Saturday at 4 o'clock, and then they're probably going to add, you know, 10 guys to the practice squad there. So the 53-man roster, you know, I think with the exception of, like, you know, linebacker, you know, who's going to be the sixth wide receiver, who's going to be the, you know, fifth linebacker. And I mean, this roster is pretty much set. I don't see a lot of surprises. With that said, the Miami Dolphins, as I've said on this podcast before, the Miami Dolphins starting 22, 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense, isn't that bad. Now, it's not great. They're not the Philadelphia Eagles. They're not the Minnesota Vikings. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not, you know, but it's not that bad. They're, you know, lumped in with about two-thirds of the teams in this league where they got a halfway decent starting 22. The problem for the Dolphins, like many teams in this league as well, is at certain spots, they have zero depth at all. The underbelly of this roster is weak to bad. However you want to phrase it. It's weak and it's bad. Weak to bad. I don't care how you phrase it. It's just not good. And there are about, one, two, three, four, five. I'd say five for sure. Five spots on this team where the Miami Dolphins could improve the depth. Now, this weekend, a lot of guys are going to be cut. There's going to be like 1,000 guys cut or something. I saw the number. It's an insane amount of guys. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I would be looking to improve the depth of this team to get, you know, you're not going to get a superstar this weekend. You're not going to get a guy who's going to come in and make an impact. But you might get a guy who, in a pinch, if he has to play, might be a little better than the guys you got. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins, when all these guys are being cut, you know, starting tomorrow into Saturday, you know, I'd be looking at every linebacker who's cut and see if I can find someone better than Stephon Anthony right there. And someone like Mike Hall, even though he's hurt, you know, he's someone that they like a lot. Someone you can add there. I'd be looking at cornerbacks just because it sounds like Lippitt's not healthy. I don't care what they say. He's clearly not healthy. And Tankersley, I have no idea what's happened to him from year one to year two. He has clearly gotten worse. And I'm not sure he's someone you can trust right now in a regular season game. So, linebacker, cornerback, offensive tackle, I'd be out there as well. Because Sam Young, I'm never going to trust. And, you know, they need, if they can get someone better there as a swing right tackle, left tackle type, I'd be all for that. I'd be looking there. Quarterback, not going to be the dead horse. We all know, you know, I'd be looking for an upgrade there. And I have no problem carrying a third quarterback on this roster. Defensive tackle. Yes, they signed Kendall Langford a few weeks back. Yes, he's looked okay. Kendall Langford's on the wrong side of 30. And he's coming off a year where he was out of the league. And his last good year, I think, was 2016 he played a little. Langford, it's fine if they have to hold on to him. If there is a defensive tackle out there who might be a little younger, who might have a little bit more promise, I have no problem looking for a defensive tackle as well. And also, I'm going to throw in kicker. Jason Sanders, you know, this preseason has done enough to win the job. And if he's the opening day kicker against Tennessee, you know, I don't have a problem with that. It's fine. He sort of won this job. He's got a big leg, a big, big leg. He can kick it, you know, 50, 55 yards, no problem at all. But, you know, he is a rookie kicker. And, you know, 1 year ago this time, this was, you know, these few days last year, everybody thought Andrew Franks was Miami's kicker. They went out and signed Cody Parquet. There's going to be a bunch of kickers released. And some who have just as strong a leg with just a little more experience, who if Miami likes one and might feel more comfortable with, I would not be shocked in the least to see Sanders let go. Even though they did use a 7th-round pick on him and Miami were to add a kicker, I don't think it's likely, but it wouldn't shock me. Let me just say it that way. I think Sanders will be the opening day kicker, but would I be stunned if I read, you know, Saturday at noon, Miami has cut Sanders and signed whoever. So I think Miami Dolphins this week or this weekend into Monday and such, would not be shocked at all to see them, you know, sign 4 or 5 guys here, because the underbelly of this roster is really not that good. And they got to sort of turn it over a bit and get some more quality depth. Again, the guys they sign, you know, most of them aren't going to be active on game days. They're guys that who might be a little bit younger with a little bit more potential down the road. But, you know, here's a perfect example at linebacker. Stephon Anthony or Terrence Garvin. One or both might make this roster. Neither one of those guys are really any good. I mean, they both, for lack of a better word, stink. And if there's a linebacker out there who's cut, Miami should, who they like a little more, I would have no problem in signing them and letting one or both those guys go. They're a perfect example. Surprise cuts. I don't know if we'll see any surprise names. Leonte Carew. It's not really a surprise at this point. I think he's done in Miami. Kendall Lankford might be a surprise cut, I guess. Just because since he's signed, he's only been here, 2.5 weeks. So I'm not sure if that's a surprise if they cut him. It might be somewhat of a surprise. Lippitt is the name I've sort of talked about since like June. And that if he ain't healthy, he adds no value. He's in the final year of his deal. I don't know how close he is to being healthy. They've been saying for weeks, he's been saying for weeks, honestly for months, they've both been saying, the team and the player, Lippitt himself, that he's close to being back. He's close to being back. He's close to being back. Well, he's been saying that for 6-7 weeks, and he's not back. So if they feel he's still a little ways away health-wise, and there's another corner out there they might like, would I be stunned if Tony Lippitt is cut this weekend? No. Do I expect it? No. Would I be stunned, though? No. So, you know, again, I don't think there's going to be any shocking news on guys who are released. Lippitt, I guess, would be the name to watch. And Stephon Anthony, just because they did use a 5th-round pick on him last year, and they hardly used him last year, and he hasn't looked good in this preseason until he made his one play tonight. So it'll be interesting. And I will have a podcast on Saturday. It'll probably be later in the day. I will have a show, and we will go over the 53-man roster. And now look, the 53-man roster Miami has on Saturday will not be the 53-man roster they opened week one with, because I think they're probably going to add up to 5 guys. Maybe it's only 1 or 2 off waivers, but if they added 5 guys, I would not be shocked. Would not be shocked in the least. So they're going to make a change. The final 53 on Saturday, you know, 1 or 2 guys at the bottom of that roster will not be on this team come opening day. They will be let go when waivers start to process through. And it'll be interesting to see where Miami targets. Again, I do think linebacker, cornerback, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, quarterback, and possibly kicker are the places Miami will look to put in waiver claims. Specifically, linebacker and cornerback being the top of the priority list. The top of the list. Because as I've said on this show now for weeks, 2018, on offense, the pieces are there for the Miami Dolphins. It's just a matter of Tannehill playing well and Adam Gase sort of calling a solid game, getting everybody working together. But the pieces are there. On defense, the pieces aren't there. They have a lot of issues on that side of the ball. Linebacker, they have no experience and no depth at all. Linebacker is horrid on the Miami Dolphins right now. Cornerback, because Tankersley, you know, has been horrible this preseason because Lippitt's not 100%. Cornerback is an issue as well. The pieces are not there on defense. Defensive tackle, again, gotcha. Vincent Taylor, very young, still unproven. And Jordan Phillips is, well, Jordan Phillips. You don't know which one you're going to get day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. You just don't. And so the pieces aren't there on that side of the ball. And that will be the issue for the Dolphins in 2018. So if they can, you know, get up, if they can use their waiver wire here and get one or two guys who maybe, you know, by middle of the season can contribute something, whether it's a backup linebacker who's on the field for a little bit or a defensive tackle who can, you know, just be a run stuffer, part-time player, you know, something, then it's well worth it. But they got to scour this waiver wire because the underbelly of this roster is not any good. And anybody who tells you it is lying to your face because the depth on this team is pretty bad right now. Even though they won 34-7 last night against Atlanta, it is what it is. Last thing I want to talk about on this podcast is, for those of you who haven't seen it, one of the most popular articles I put out every year on this website are my crystal ball predictions. The 2018 crystal ball predictions. And I released that Thursday night with all my predictions for the entire league. Every division, I predicted every team will make the playoffs. And I tell you who played in the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game, and the Super Bowl matchup with who will win it. And I also hand out some awards as well, like who will be the MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year. And I want to go through it real quick and share my thoughts on it. Okay, let's start off AFC East. I have the New England Patriots winning the East. Surprise, surprise. I don't think it'll be close. Behind them, I do have Miami in second, Jets third. The Bills I have in fourth, and I did say the Bills, you know, on paper might be the worst team in the NFL right now. It's just, they're not a pretty team right now. They made the playoffs last year, and instead of trying to improve, they sort of blew it up and they started over, which I understand what they did at quarterback. I don't have a problem with that, but they lose three starters on their offensive line. Their running back, you know, he's got a whole heap of trouble off the field. He might be facing a suspension. They did nothing to improve their wide receivers. They had six picks in the first three rounds of this draft and only came away with three players, and they didn't, you know, capitalize on all that draft capital. I understand the trade up to get the quarterback. No problem with that. The next trade they made to get Edmonds, I never understood. Now, he might be a great player, but I didn't think they needed to move up to get him. Just on paper, that team has no pass rush. It's just, I don't think they're very good, and it's going to be a long year for the Bills. AFC North. I got Pittsburgh first, Cincinnati second, the Ravens third, Browns fourth. Like I said, Pittsburgh's still the class of that division. Excuse me. And the Browns, I'm not buying the hype. Anybody who's buying into that Cleveland Browns hype is out of their ever-loving mind. They still stink. Now, they might win three or four games this year, which compared to winning none or winning one in the past two seasons, winning three or four in one year is like a huge step. And I know they might be on their way in time. And I actually like their pieces on defense a lot. But, you know, they're not that good. And I'm not buying into the hype that they're going to, you know, threaten to make the playoffs or maybe come in second place in the North. Not happening. The South is where it gets interesting. And I know probably where a lot of people won't agree with what I have here. First place, Tennessee Titans. I love the Titans. I think this is a team ready to make that next step. They got a huge, big, strong offensive line. They got a young quarterback who gets better and better. Excuse me, I got this summer cold and I just can't stop coughing. I do apologize. They have a big tight end who can make plays down the middle of the field. They have a little thunder and lightning at running back between Henry and Lewis, who I think is going to be tough for teams to stop. If their wide receivers can make any plays at all on offense and sort of open up that offense just a little bit for the running backs, for the tight ends, I think the Titans are going to be a pain in the butt to handle in 2018. So I have the Titans winning the AFC South. In second place and winning a wild card or obtaining a wild card spot, I have the Houston Texans. Now, I am not sold on Watson being a superstar quarterback. I think he's a bit overrated right now. But on defense, if they stay healthy, they are as good as any team in the league on that side of the ball. The problem is they're never healthy. This team gets riddled with injuries left and right. Watts always now, he always seems to get hurt. You got Clowney, he's always in and out, it seems like. Watson, he had his knee injury last year. If this team can stay somewhat healthy, I think they'll take a wild card. Now, Jacksonville, I have out of the playoffs and in third place in the South, which I know is going to drive some fans nuts because Jacksonville's one of those teams where if you like them, you love them, and you probably got them, you know, winning the South and going far in the playoffs. I don't see it. I know they were good last year, and I think last year everything sort of fell into place for them. They sort of caught a lot of teams by surprise. That's not going to happen this year. They still have Blake Bortles at quarterback and nobody behind him. Their wide receivers now with Lee out. They stink at wide receiver. And Ramsey, well, he's a great player. He is running his mouth so much that he is going to motivate every opponent this year that they face. When you play Jacksonville this year, odds are Ramsey, the week of the game, is going to say something really stupid. And he's going to motivate their opponents to where those guys are going to go out and play Jacksonville like it's the Super Bowl each week. And that is not something you want. And I'm also not in love with their head coach at all, Doug Marrone. I think he's really overrated. Jacksonville, look, long term, they might be really good. I think they take a step back this year, though. And I think the AFC South with Tennessee and Houston, that's a heck of a division. That's one tough division with those three teams. And I think Jacksonville this year might struggle. I mean, I don't trust a quarterback at all. The head coach is so conservative, as we saw in the AFC Championship game last year. If Marrone had any guts at all, they win that game easily. They had New England dead to rights, but he's so conservative. He has no faith in his quarterback. The quarterback's not any good. He's got no wide receivers to throw to. I just think on offense, that team is a big hot mess, and they're going to take a step back this year. Indianapolis in last, again, that's a team who's going to be picking in the top three of the draft next year. Out west, this one's tricky, and I did take the Chargers to win the AFC West, and I did it sort of holding my nose because I don't love the Chargers because that's a team who, as I said in my article up at DolphinsTalk.com, Lady Luck has never been on their side in recent years. They get a ton of injuries. They miss a ton of big kicks late in games that cost them wins. You got to think at some point that starts to even itself out, and this year they might catch a few breaks, hopefully. So I picked the Chargers to win the West. Kansas City coming in second with a wild card. I think outside of quarterback, where they have a question mark there, they got a very good roster, top to bottom. So I think the quarterback, you know, he's got to grow into that role, but Andy Reid always finds the playoffs. He always finds the playoffs. So I think he'll get a wild card spot there. Third place, I have Oakland. Gruden, first year back, it's going to take him a little bit to get the roster he wants, and he's already whining and bitching and moaning about the rules. I want more practice time. The NFL's gone. So he's already complaining, and he hasn't even coached his first game in God knows how many years, so I think that's a mess. Last place I have the Broncos. Vance Joseph in over his head. Don't like what they got on offense. So the playoff teams in the AFC, New England, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Chargers, Wild Cards, Houston, Kansas City. NFC East, that's a tricky division too. Philadelphia is still the class of the division. And when Wentz gets back, they're just only going to be better. Second place, I took the Giants. I like what the Giants have done. They have to protect Eli this year. He's not getting younger. They have to protect him. Third place, Washington. Kind of a blah team, nothing special. Last place, the Cowboys. That is another team we'll be picking, you know, top three, top five of the draft next year. NFC North. Minnesota's the class of the North. They got the best roster top to bottom. Kirk Cousins will have the weight of the world on his shoulders, but he does have a talented roster to help him. I got them winning the North. Green Bay in second, and they will get a wild card spot. I think having the Rodgers contract done now, having that out of the way, just removes a big distraction for them. So that's a big deal. I like how that's out of the way heading into the season. Lions in third, Chicago in fourth. Just not impressed with either one of those teams. NFC South, I took New Orleans first, but it's close. I think they have so many weapons on offense, especially when they get back Mark Ingram. They can just overwhelm their opponents. Atlanta second is a wild card. If you flip-flop them, I couldn't argue with you. Ryan's got a ton of weapons, too, on offense. They're going to be tough. Carolina third, only because I don't trust Newton. I just don't trust him at all. I think he's a bit of a joke. He's a clown. He's a jerk. I just don't trust him. And in fourth, I got Tampa with Winston, who he's a bigger joke, clown, and jerk than Newton. So those teams, I think the quarterbacks hold them back because they're just not good people, honestly. NFC West, the Rams obviously win this division easily. Second, Arizona. Third, San Francisco. Fourth, Seattle. So in the NFC playoffs, I had Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, and the Rams. The AFC Championship game, I have Pittsburgh over the Tennessee Titans. The NFC Championship game, I got the Minnesota Vikings over the Philadelphia Eagles. And in the Super Bowl, I have the Minnesota Vikings defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl. And I'm sure they will give a ring to the family of Tony Sperano if that should happen. So that is my crystal ball on how the 2018 season will play out. I have the Minnesota Vikings over the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. And for the NFL MVP, the regular season award, I have that going to running back Todd Gurley of the Rams. The Super Bowl MVP, I have that going to Kirk Cousins from Minnesota. For Coach of the Year, again, that's a regular season award, I have that going to Mike Zimmer of Minnesota. And Rookie of the Year, I have that going to Giants running back Saquon Barkley. So, again, like I said, it's a fun little column I do every year. I make my predictions on the 2018 season. It's one of the most read articles of the year at DolphinsTalk.com. I put it up last night. Go check it out. After each team, I put a little tidbit and a little nugget with my thoughts on that team for the upcoming season. And, you know, people seem to enjoy this article. So I always put it out last week of August around the final preseason game. And it is up on the website, the 2018 NFL season predictions. So that's all for tonight's show. Like I said, I will have a show Saturday. We will talk about, you know, the final 53-man roster for the Miami Dolphins. There's going to be a ton of guys cut and released. We'll talk about any guys released from other teams that sort of pique my interest, who I sort of hope and wish Miami might kick the tires on. And also, don't be shocked here if on Friday or Saturday before 4, Miami makes a trade. If they make a trade for someone who they might be releasing to see if they can get anything for them, or if they make a trade, you know, if they're going to make a trade, look for the teams they've made trades with in the past. And the teams they've made trades with in the past are the Philadelphia Eagles, the New Orleans Saints, and the Minnesota Vikings. So if Miami were to make a trade, I would, you know, bet a buck that the trade is made with either Philadelphia, with New Orleans, or with Minnesota. So keep an eye on that. And, you know, a lot of these guys this weekend are going to be, you know, out on the street and their NFL dream is over. So for those guys, you know, it's a tough weekend for them. But we are now, you know, 1 week from tonight's the first regular NFL season game. 1 week from this Sunday's the first Miami Dolphins game. And next week we're going to have a bunch of shows. I got some guests lined up for next week to get you ready for, you know, week one of the NFL regular season. The Miami Dolphins, Tennessee Titans. We'll be breaking it down from every angle that there is and talking a lot about the Dolphins and the Titans week one. The regular season is here. Preseason is behind us. You know, it doesn't matter. A lot of the stuff we sort of talked about and a lot of these guys we talked about are either not going to be on the field playing or, you know, they're not going to be on the team. And now it comes down to head coach Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill. It comes down to guys like Wake and Quinn. The big name guys got to play big this year for this team to win games and be successful. And that's what we're going to focus on now because the regular season's here. You know, talking about guys like Stephon Anthony, Jalen Davis, talking about, Jordan Lucas and those guys, that's been nice. But now the regular season's here, and we're going to talk about the big-name guys because that is what is going to be the determining factor for the 2018 season and how many games Miami wins. Once again, everyone be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Visit our website, dolphinstalk.com. Follow us on Facebook. I got links up for that everywhere. We got some big news coming soon on Facebook, some exciting things coming soon on Facebook. You're going to want to follow us there. Wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, subscribe to it so when a new show drops, it goes right to your smart device. Leave us a comment, leave us a rating. And as I said at the top, if you are interested in writing for DolphinsTalk.com, send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. We're looking to expand our staff and add some quality writers. Serious inquiries only. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. If you're passionate and you really want to write for our site, send me an email. We'll talk and see if it's a good fit. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your Friday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.